And now, come closer and hear these words from the Gospel of John. In a small Samaritan town, Jesus and his entourage stopped to rest at the historic well that Jacob gave his son Joseph. It was about noon when Jesus found a spot to sit close to the well while the disciples ventured off to find provisions. A Samaritan woman approached to draw some water. Unexpectedly, he spoke to her.
Would you draw water and give me a drink?
I cannot believe that you, a Jew, would associate with me, a Samaritan woman, much less ask me to give you a drink.
Jews, you see, have no dealings with Samaritans.
You don't know the gift of God, or who is asking you for a drink of this water from Jacob's well. Because if you did, you would have asked him for something greater, and he would have given you the living water.
Sir, you sit by this deep well, a thirsty man, without a bucket in sight. Where does this living water come from? Are you claiming superiority to our father Jacob, who labored long and hard to dig and maintain this well so that he could share clean water with his sons, grandchildren, and cattle?
Drink this water, and your thirst is quenched only for a moment. You must return to this well again and again. I offer water that will become a wellspring within you that gives life throughout eternity. You will never be thirsty again.
Please, sir, give me some of this water so that I will never be thirsty and never again have to make the trip to this well.
Then bring your husband to me.
I do not have a husband.
Technically, you are telling the truth, but you have had 5 husbands and are currently living with a man you are not married to.
Sir, it is obvious to me that you are a prophet.
Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Okay, can you see what this is? What is that? Shout it out. $20 bill. Who wants a $20 bill? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, I am going to give this $20 to someone, but first, I'm going to do this. Who still wants it? Oh, okay. Well, what if I do this? There. Now, who still wants it? You want it to, Peaches, I'm giving it to Julia. $20. Of course you still want that $20, don't you, Julia, right? Because no matter what I was going to do to it up here, it wasn't going to decrease in value, right? Right. You see, $20 is still $20, even if I crumple it up or stomp on it. It doesn't lose its worth. It's just like our lives. No matter how crumpled we feel, no matter how many things stomp on us, no matter how many times we think we've screwed up, our worth doesn't change. It doesn't. No matter what happens, we do not lose our value. We are sacred beings. We are children of God. Why do we forget this? Why is it so easy for us that when things go wrong, we start to beat ourselves up a little bit or start all that negative self-talk in our heads? Why do we do this? Do we think God is doing this about us? Do we really think God is thinking negative things about us? Of course not. So why do we do it to ourselves? Because Jesus definitely told us to go and to love others. That's what we're supposed to go and do. It's very clear. But Jesus also knew that if we're going to go and love others, we are going to have to love ourselves as well. I mean, here's this woman at the well, and she's coming down in the hottest part of the day to fill her bucket. People didn't do that in Jesus's day. People went in the morning when it was nice and cool. But this woman had a reputation. This woman had been married 5 times, and the man she was currently living with was not her husband, and people didn't do that in Jesus' day either. So she was avoiding all of the people who might come to the well at the earlier part of the day because she didn't want to feel all of them staring at her. And she didn't want to hear all of the whispering that would be going on about her. Because that's the worst, isn't it? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever avoided something or someone or some place because you just didn't want to deal with what everybody was going to say or think or gossip about? It's a horrible feeling. So this woman goes to the well when it's hot because she knows no one's going to be there. But someone is there. Jesus is there. Jesus and his disciples had come to town, and while the disciples went off to go get some food, Jesus stayed at the well to rest. When all of a sudden, the Samaritan woman appears, and Jesus talks to her. Again, this is something people just didn't do in Jesus' day. Men didn't go over and just outright talk to women, and Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. But Jesus breaks the social norm. Because who decided this anyway? And he speaks to her. He asks her for a drink, and she's totally shocked. She's totally shocked that he spoke to her, and she's shocked at what he says. He says he has something that will quench her thirst for forever. He's got something that will fill up her soul. All those voids and empty places within, they'll all be filled with this living water. So of course she wants that. Who wouldn't? I want that. Jesus thinks she's worth it. So he offers it. Jesus thinks she's worth all that because Jesus sees her true value. Jesus sees beyond anything of her past. He sees her sacred worth. Jesus sees a child of God, not a discard, not a reject. Jesus sees nothing but a woman of true value simply because she exists, simply because she was born. Nothing more, nothing less. She has sacred worth, no matter how crumpled she feels, no matter how much society would rather stomp on her. So how do we do that? How do we honor our sacred worth? How do we care for our souls when we're feeling crumpled? Well, we go back to the well. We go back to the well and we remember. We remember that no one is discarded, not even us. And we remember that everyone is worth being filled up with the love of God. Everyone. Even us, especially us. A couple years ago, a woman named Danae Adams was going to college, and she decided to volunteer to be a finish line hugger for the Special Olympics in Kentucky. On the day of the event, it was cold and wet and dreary, but she noticed no one seemed to be complaining. In fact, everyone was so excited, they didn't seem to notice the weather at all. And when the first games began, Danae's job was to stand at the end of the racetrack and hug the people in her line as they crossed the finish line. One by one, the racers crossed the finish line, and she put her arms around them and hugged them, and she saw their faces light up with pure joy. It didn't matter if they came in first place or if they came in dead last, everyone got a hug. But what Danae remembers most about that day was the long distance race that was 12 laps around the track. That's 3 miles. There were only 4 participants, 3 boys and 1 girl. And as luck would have it, when they were only a couple of laps into the race, it started to pour. Danae was miserable. Her feet hurt, she was cold, she was hungry, she'd been standing there all day, and now she was soaking wet. She just wanted the race to end. And while the boys were nearly finished, the girl was in Danae's line and was at least 4 laps behind them. Danae just wanted her to give up so she and everyone else could go home. Finally, the boys finished, and the girl was left running alone in the rain. The boys, however, stayed by the track and cheered the girl on. The girl was clearly exhausted and was totally drenched, and each time she completed another lap, her face was a little redder and she was holding her side a little bit more. Danae couldn't help but think about being home. But this girl kept running, and by the time she finished the race, she was barely running. And when she crossed the finish line, the audience went wild, and Danae wrapped her arms around her and gave her her hug, and the girl started to cry. And when she pulled away from Danae, she folded her hands and she began to pray, "Thank you, God, for giving me the strength to finish this race today. Thank you for letting the boys win. Thank you for all of these nice people." Then she hugged Danae again and made her way to the awards table. Danae stood motionless and tears started streaming down her face. And she watched the girl accept her award for fourth place. At that moment, Danae understood that it doesn't matter what place you think you're in or what others think you're in. It only matters that you have love. Love for others and the love for yourself, no matter where you are. So let's go back to the well. Let's go back to the well and let's see who is there. Who is there loving you? See who is there waiting for you to hug you and to fill you with love and to accept you and to remind you that you don't have to judge yourself. Or worry about who's going to start whispering. Or worry who's going to love you. God loves you. And you can love you. It's the only way we'll be able to stand in the rain and love someone else. Amen.